Welcome, dear listener, to another episode of True Hauntings and Scary Stories, the podcast where we alternate between spooky conversation and scary short stories. Now, here's your host, Miss Cynthia.
Welcome, spooky friends, to yet another episode of your favorite podcast. Just kidding. I don't know if it is. I hope it is.
Episode 69.
Yeah. That is so true.
Can you believe we've done 69 episodes already, Cindy?
Right? And that's a lot of episodes, 69 episodes. It's a lot.
Do you know what's magical about the number 69, though?
No, I don't, Kat. What is magical about the number 69?
If you flip it around, it's still 69. Hey, guys, I'm Kat, the co-host of Spooky.
We are such children.
That's okay. I still laugh whenever someone does duty, so...
You guys can't see video, but my face is beet red right now. It turned every shade of red that there is.
I made her laugh.
Yeah. So we have an extra person with us today, don't we, Kat?
We do. And
Would you like to intro him?
Oh, I guess so. So everyone, this is Steve. He's our guest today for our fun, spooky episode of number 69. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
And I think he's a little bit extra special because he happens to be my other half. We won't say better half because we know the truth here, but he is the other half of our house.
Nice.
My hibs.
Yeah, she keeps me in the basement and just, you know, feeds me every once in a while. So, yeah.
Don't even lie. We don't have a basement, but I do stick him up in the attic with the ghost every once in a while. He and Eden hang out. So.
There are a lot of supposedly, like allegedly true stories of people who have used Ouija boards and it has gone terribly wrong. I found lots that talked about people hearing wolves howling while they're burning the board and stuff. Like, I don't know if that's a thing or not, but I heard a lot of that.
I do have one story. I don't know. I'm sure you can find someone talking about it on YouTube, but they did end up making a video or a movie out of this guy's experiences. You want to hear about it? It was a little spooky.
Yes, I mean.
All right. So Darren Evans wrote about his experience with a Ouija board in 2009 is when he used it. And then afterwards, hundreds of people claimed that the same experiences had happened to them, either before or after they read about Darren's experience and stuff like that. So Darren said that he came into contact with a demon named Zozo. So Z-O-Z-O. And Darren claimed that this demon had come to him multiple times in various states. Sometimes the demon pretended to be a different spirit. It lied. It tried to convince Darren that it was someone else. Eventually, his true colors came through and would always make it apparent. Hey, what up? What's up? It's Zozo. Darren Evans told his story about Zozo the demon for the first time on March 24th, 2009, in an online forum for True Ghost Stories. Doesn't say which online forum. I'm sure people can do their research.
It's dead. I looked for it. The forum itself is dead.
Fine. Mr. Researcher. Oh, thank you. So here is the only information you guys can hear about it right here on this podcast. If you want others to know about it, share the podcast.
We're reigniting the forum right now.
Darren explained how the first time he had the encounter with the demon was over the Ouija board, and the planchette went wild and flew between the letters Z and O, frantically spelling Z-O, 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 Z-O. Zozo said it had come to take Darren's family to paradise, And Darren asked, where's this paradise? So the planchette moved slowly and it spelled out H-E-L-L.
H-E double hockey sticks.
Yep. And then, just like in The Exorcist, the demon spelled out some obscenities in Hebrew or Latin. He wasn't sure, so that sounds a little bit.
How does he know they were obscenities?
It has to be Latin because the letters for Hebrew don't line up. It doesn't matter. Keep going.
Those are different squiggles. Darren freaked out when he heard that this demon was going to take his family to hell and rushed into the bathroom where his girlfriend had been giving their daughter a bath, and his girlfriend was gone, nowhere to be found. The tub was overflowing and his daughter was drowning. That was scary. Though he managed to rescue her at the time, Evans claimed that the demon was responsible for sending his daughter to the hospital later with an inexplicable infection. I want to know where the girlfriend was. What were you doing?
Yeah, does he not say?
Mm-mm. He didn't say.
That's weird.
Yeah. Later on in 2012, a movie was released about the Zozo demon, and it was literally called I Am Zozo. So they really got creative with the title on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Evans later made an appearance on the popular TV show Ghost Adventures in an effort to contact.
Of course he did.
Yeah. In an effort to contact Zozo again. Like, dude, seriously, you've played around with this demon before and now you're going
to
come
back?
Tried
to kill my
more?
Baby. Let's go on national TV and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Let's just talk it out.
Oh, goodness. All the stories regarding the Zozo demon are more or less the same. Someone will sit down to play with the Ouija board or anything remotely resembling one. You can make your own. You can, print one out. Doesn't have to be fancy.
You can literally write on a piece of paper the alphabet and the numbers and yes and no and hello and goodbye. Mm-hmm. And you can use a glass, like a shot glass or something. Mm-hmm. You can do it however you want. Yeah.
Hashtag DIY Ouija, guys.
You get into the intricacies with that a little bit, like into the weeds with that because of the whole, it has to be wood and you need a piece of glass and all of that. But yeah. So no red Solo cups and no plastic tables.
Aww. You just ruined all the college parties.
There's also a Ouija app, though. There's an app for that. So people have met the Zozo demon through a Ouija app. And at first, people think that they're talking to the spirit of someone dead, a relative or someone that they know. They'll ask questions and then be startled at how much the quote-unquote spirit seems to know about their loved one's life. And then suddenly the arrows or the planchette will start to fly between the letters Z and O. This is what people said that their experiences are. That's when the threats begin. The Ouija spells out more obscenities and blasphemies and promising to drag one's firstborn son down to hell. Supposedly. One person said, my nephew started running around the house screaming, Zozo, Zozo, Zozo. Oh, and we frantically made him stop. Another woman wrote...
Is this like a Candyman situation? Or
right. Another woman wrote on a forum, the next morning my nephew wakes me up and as we're waking up, he asks if we can go get breakfast. So I put him in the car and pull out of the driveway. Not 2 minutes later, a car runs a stop sign and slams into us after they had talked to Zozo on the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, drunk drivers are similar to drunk people playing with Ouija boards, like they do happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you can go on the interwebs and read more about the history of this Zozo demon and where he came from and all that kind of fun stuff, because it goes back like 200 some odd years in different cultures and stuff. Kind of interesting.
Oh, wow.
Ultimately, like you were saying earlier, skeptics believe that the Ouija board is designed to play tricks against us, working off of the idiometer effect, which is, again, where your muscles make small subconscious movement with or without you realizing them. And then we see those movements shift the light piece of light, as in weight, why is the planchette is light, moves around the board. And we're convinced that something supernatural is happening. And then we scare the crap out of ourselves and make movies off of it. Ooh, talking boards. Super scary. If you guys have had your own experiences with Ouija boards or you know of someone, you can definitely write to us. Where can they write to us, Cindy? Where can they submit their scary stories?
If you want us to read it on the show, you can email it to me at cynthia@truehauntings.com. If you want to join the Facebook group, you can post it in the Facebook group too, just for them to read and get opinions or whatever. Yeah, you can share it with us either of those ways.
Cool beans. And Steve, did you have a story?
I do.
Of a Ouija experience?
I do. Just to add to Zozo too, the one, there is a reference to this particular name in the Dictionnaire Infernal, so the French demonology reference from, I believe, the actual story is from 1816-ish. The funny thing is we always find references that come back. You know, we talked about The Exorcist a couple of minutes ago as well. The mention of this in this demonology manual of Zozo talks about a girl who walks forward and backwards on all fours and walks on her hands nude through the streets, who claimed to have been possessed by three demons, including Zozo. This reference is really old. There's some other reference materials that go back to the 1500s as well. So really interesting stuff that continues on. It's funny how that works. Okay, so my stupid story.
Before you start on your stories, though, we have to ask you the same thing that we ask everybody that guest spots on our podcast. Cindy, what is the question that we ask everybody?
Steve, what got you into the paranormal? Was it one specific experience, or has it been a lifetime of paranormal experiences?
I was very skeptical for a long time. You know, as a kid, I didn't really buy it until I was in my teenage years. Started doing some more research on some of these, because some of these stories are so old. I had an experience when I was 14, 15, something like that, and I still to this day can't find an explanation for it. And it's something that I've done. I mean, I reference demonology books from the 19th century and the 18th century and things like that. I've done a lot of research trying to figure out what was going on, you know, so I was skeptical. I'm still skeptical on most things that involve this, you know, Occam's razor, right? You know, the idea that the simplest explanation is usually the correct one. So I'm skeptical on all this stuff to begin with, but I'm also a better safe than sorry kind of person, especially when we start talking about divination, occult, things of those natures, like the Ouija board and some other things. I'm kind of a better safe than sorry kind of guy. I don't want to mess with stuff that I don't necessarily understand very well. Or, you know, when you're talking about things that, you know, like you said before, I mean, this is ancient Chinese stuff, and divination goes back. I mean, there's references to divination back 8,000 and 10,000 years. You talk about like the Mesopotamians, for example. Like when it comes to that stuff, I tend to lean more towards there's something here. Now, what it is, I don't know, but you know, that kind of thing. So still skeptical on most things, but try to explain it the best I can when I do come across something.
But you have an experience specifically with Ouija boards.
Yes, I do. Ouija boards as the a lot of you will be able to reference, idiot
and everything that we should not do.
Yeah. Them. Idiot boys in college. I mean, that's generally generally where a lot of these things happen, right? So, I spent some time, like I referenced, I spent a lot of time like studying a lot of these things and trying to understand these things. And so, when something goes sideways, I'm usually the one that my friends will call, kind of thing, right? So I am just to set the scene. We are. I was driving home from work. It's like 2 a.m. I had a group of buddies. There was about 12 of us, and it was usually between 5 and 12 of us would all get together at a. We rented a trailer in a trailer park, specifically so we had a place to party. Like that was what nice. We would do. Right. This was. it had been. This was.
How responsible of you.
Oh, of course. The complaints were when they finally threw us out, the complaints took up 4 notebooks and it was about 12 or 13 manila envelopes. You know, like it was pretty ridiculous. I was not a good person for a long time. Now, that being said, I'm only named in those documents about 3 times. So it wasn't always me. This is one of those cases of I didn't start this. I just had to clean up the mess. So I'm driving home from work and I get a phone call from my best friend. Still my best friend in the whole wide world. And he is a, US Army vet. Okay. So he's kind of a no nonsense guy. He's pretty straight edge. He doesn't believe in any of this stuff at all until later in his life. He had some experiences, unfortunately, while hanging out with me, and then it is never the same. But he calls me and he's panicking. So the first thought in my mind is he's got PTSD from combat. So I'm thinking, okay, we're having an episode. You know, I'm gonna go over to his house and, you know, I'll talk him down and figure out what's going on, whatever. So he's panicking and I'm like, where are you? And he's like, I'm at 8 Mile. 8 Mile was the nickname for our trailer in the trailer park, right? Old reference, kids.
Nice.
He goes, I'm at 8 Mile. I'm like, why are you there? Because it was like a Thursday. Nobody's normally there. Like, why are you there? He's like, oh, me and a couple of the other guys are here and we need your help. I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, is the trailer park on fire? Has anyone died? He's like, not yet. And I'm like, not yet. I will turn around. So I turn around and I start heading towards this place. And I get there. And he is outside. So the trailer's backed up to a wooded area that drops down into like a valley and onto the river where we grew up. And he's like behind the first row of trees in the trees as I come walking up. And I'm like, what is he doing? I'm like, this is, and that's when I'm like, okay, everybody's been drinking. Somebody swung at somebody. Something dumb happened, whatever. So I go walking into the trailer and another one of my buddies is standing up against the wall and he's like, it's over there. And I'm like, what's over there? And so I walk into the kitchen and on the floor is a Ouija board. And I've told these guys like a million, because they like messing with things. These are 20 something boys who think that it's necessary to mess with things. Like, who touched it? Who touched it? And he goes, oh, this, and this. And there's 5 of them. I'm like, all right, where is everybody? Well, Kyle ran outside and this guy ran over here and this guy ran over here. I'm like, go find everybody and bring them back inside. So go and grab everybody and bring them back inside. Sit them all down. Put the board on the table. Salt circle. I'm like, all right, you guys have to now say goodbye to whatever you are doing. Because I have no idea what's happened at this point. So we get them all closed down. And I'm like, all right, give me the board. We don't touch this when we've been drinking. We don't touch this, period. And I take it and put it in my car. Go home. Don't think anything of it. From then on.
What about the planchette?
Couldn't find it. So I don't know where it went. I'm sure somebody pocketed it or threw it somewhere or whatever. Couldn't find it. So I throw the board in the back of the car and I'm like, I'm done with this. I go home. And where I lived was not the best part of town. Once again, college kids, right? So I was always adamant about locking my car up, locking up the house, locking everything, you know. And so the next day, it's now a Friday, which means it's time to go to 8 Mile. This is now the official time we're supposed to be there. And I was always the first one there because Fridays I always took a half day because I was lazy. so I get there about 4:30, And I pull up, I get out of the car, I walk inside, and laying on the table, same table from before, is the board and the planchette. The board was locked in my car. The trunk of my car never opened for any reason. I didn't put anything back there. Once again, lazy mid-20s or early 20s. You know, my uniform was in the passenger seat. So I had no reason to go in the trunk. So here's this thing laying on the table. And I'm like, all right, the guys are fooling with me. They must have went and bought another one, right? Like, they're just messing with me. So I go back out in the car, and it's not in my trunk. And I'm like, and then I'm racking my brain. I'm like, who else has a key to my car? Like, trying to figure out. I'm like, my mom didn't do this. She's the only person who's got a spare key. I'm like, no, whatever. Maybe I wasn't thinking straight, and I forgot to pick it up, and somebody found the planchette. So then I sit down. That night, we're sitting around, and we're doing our thing. We're drinking. We're having a good time. And I start asking a couple of the guys, you know, hey, what happened? And basically what had happened was my best friend, they were sitting there playing with this thing, and it told him that it was going to come look at him. And he looked out the window and saw what he thought was somebody standing outside. Once again, Army vet. So his first reaction is to jump up and go outside to figure out what's going on. So he jumps up. And as soon as he jumps up, spooks everybody else. So everybody else takes off. He goes running outside and sees somebody running through the trees. So now they think somebody's messing with him. So he goes out there. Apparently, before he called me, he had chased this guy around, this person or this thing, whatever you want to call it, around in the woods for like 45 minutes and never actually got a look at it. The other thing to understand, if you don't have vets in your life or in your family or anything like that, these guys can go from borderline blackout drunk to war machine in heartbeat. I've watched that guy go from 3-day benders to ready to rock and roll in less than 2 minutes. Like something in their brain kicks off and all the other stuff goes away, and that's what they're focused on. So if he can't get a hold of it or see it or grab it, that leads me to believe that not only did he see something, but whatever he was chasing, he couldn't catch. They never gave me a name. Everybody was too spooked to give me any sort of name. I found out years and years later that I don't know if it was actually that trailer park, because there's multiple trailer parks in this spot. I never got an exact location on it, but there was a burial mound somewhere underneath one of the trailer parks in that area. Indian burial mound from the locals, and just lots of really strange things that kind of lined up. But needless to say, none of those guys have touched a Ouija board since. It literally scared the crap out of two of them. And yes, when I say literal, I'm being literal. And so never again for the Ouija board. But that's before that, the only experience that I had ever had with Ouija boards was all conversations that I'd had with other people who were more attuned to the occult side or the Wicca side or the whatever, mostly occult and spiritualism. That's why I was like, okay, everybody sit. Like, I knew the process, like you were talking about earlier, like what you're supposed to do. I knew the process, but my personal experience with it, none.
So what did you do when you found this Ouija board and the planchette on the table? What happened then?
So as soon as I found it, I immediately assumed somebody was messing with me. And we have one friend of mine who is like notorious for things of that nature. And so I called him and I was like, dude, did you talk to anybody? Because he wasn't there that night when everything went down. I was like, did you talk to anybody? Did anybody tell you about what happened last night at 8 Mile? And he's like, no. I'm like, okay. And the way that he said it, I knew he wasn't lying to me. So I picked him up and I'm like, all right, this is it. I'm done with this. So I took it outside because I'm like, obviously I can't lock it away. It's just going to end up back here or whatever. So I took it out back and there was a stump off in the trees. And I'm like, I'm putting this thing on this stump. And if somebody else wants it, they can take it. And I'm not fooling with it. And so I put it out there on the stump And about 3 or 4 days later, it was gone. So I assume either teenage kids or it went off to go do something else someplace else. So,
Oh, my good night. Did you put the planchette on top of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You did the thing she said not to do.
That's fine. I'm good with it. Maybe some deer came by and were with their hooves and that.
Some black goat.
That's fine too. I don't care. Like I'm totally cool with that. The goats can play with it. The deer can play with it. I don't care.
Just
get it out of the house
anymore.
Away from the drunk college kids. Like,
dude, that's messed up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's probably the creepiest way I've ever heard of to get rid of a Ouija board. Just put it on a stump in the middle of the woods with the planchette and just be like, here you go, universe.
Well, once again, college brain mentality, right? So the first thing that came to my head was that Happy Gilmore line of, I didn't throw it. I placed it in the woods because it was made of wood. that whole brain logic that you have when you're, 21 or whatever.
I don't know that I've ever messed with a Ouija board seriously. I think my mom bought me one when I was a kid, which is hilarious because I love the joke that Ouija boards are technically a game, supposedly. And it says for like 8 year olds on the thing, it says like eight years old and up. So like at 8 years old, you're old enough to summon a demon, but you can't drink until you're like 18 or 21 or whatever. Oh my goodness.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, the reincarnations of the Dalai Lama start at 5. So, I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So she bought me one and we like goofed off with it, but nothing happened. And we were young. Like I was probably 10 or something, 10 or 12. And nothing ever came of it. One time I did walk in on my sister and my cousin and I don't know, a few people had taken my Ouija board up to the third floor of Grandpa's house and were trying to use it on the third floor of her house. And I walked in on that and I was like, what are you guys doing? Are you insane? I left. They kept going.
Oh, I want to know the outcome of that story.
Not into that. Yeah.
So the real meta story here is the Ouija board actually started this podcast because she messed with it and she doesn't remember anything about it. And then all these things start showing up in her house and she's like, where's all this stuff coming from? And if you had just said goodbye that one time, just that one time.
Well, I never put my hands on it. I literally walked in the room and was like, you guys are crazy. What on earth are you doing? I'm out. And I left.
You're
a
witness.
I never even touched it.
Yeah.
So it attached itself to you in the room.
You're a witness. That's Yeah, exactly. That's why it shows up on your bed and complains about the crazy lady moving all the things in its house. You're the witness. That's the problem.
Now,
you're the one that was supposed to be sitting in the corner with the notepad writing all the notes. Like, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, how interesting. Yes.
The Ouija board secretary.
That's right. Because apparently that's a thing now.
Now, Steve, what are your thoughts on burning a Ouija board? Because didn't you have an experience with burning
I did have an experience with burning a Ouija board. That was a whole nother.
Are you holding out on us?
That was a whole nother story. another friend of mine who was not drinking and much older.
Old
enough to know better, attempted to burn a Ouija board that their children had brought into the house. Unbeknownst to them, and they took it in the backyard and tried to burn it. And the next day, she says it's the same board. I never saw the first one, so I don't know this for sure. But a unmarked brown box showed up on the front porch, and the board was in the box after she had lit it on fire in the backyard twice.
Did it have markings of being burned, or was it fresh, new?
So that was the funny part, because I did see the board that showed back up, supposedly. And they all look burnt and beat up. So I don't know, like maybe, sure, kind of, but like, as far as burning them, like this is that whole, it comes from a tree, right? Like if you want to get real deep and dive deep on it, it's supposed to be on wood, right? It's a talking board. So it's supposed to be wood. Wood is something that's gone from life to death. Tree is alive. Wood is dead, right? This is the body of the tree. Kind of thing. You're talking to something supposedly that's dead through a dead object. If you burn said dead thing, what happens to anything that might be attached to it. Do I think it frees it out into the ether? I really don't know. We're getting pretty esoteric, but the connections between that would, because other divination items have been said to do similar things if you destroy them incorrectly. So should you burn it? Probably not. Maybe not. I don't know. But at the same time, it's a piece of wood. Do what you're going to do with it. You're going to burn it anyway, eventually, whether it goes into an incinerator when it gets to the landfill because you threw it in the trash can 17 times and your trash guy was a jerk and kept pulling it out and put it back on your porch. or it'll rot if you put it in the ground because it's wood. And generally, mm-hmm. not to get into woodology or whatever you want to call it, but generally speaking, they don't use pressure treated wood to make Ouija boards. That seems a little excessive. So if you bury it, it should rot and degenerate at some point. So the idea of it releasing something, if you're using something that's natural, that's going to degrade, that doesn't tend to make a lot of sense. But generally speaking, no, probably don't burn them. Just because like I said, that was the second hand or third hand account of what something that had happened to somebody that I knew. And this person was the person that this happened to was a paranormal investigator back in my hometown. She spent a lot of time taking pictures and going places and compiling data and, you know.
Well, now I don't know if we have convinced our listeners or not whether they should use a Ouija board or whether they shouldn't. I'm still on the fence about it. I don't really know if I want to say you should never ever do it or not. But now we've told you ways that you can use it or things you should never do. I'll give you guys all the links. You've heard Steve's stories and we've talked about history. So hopefully we gave you a nice snippet of Ouija boards in general. And then you can go out into the world and decide what you want to do. If you are into Instagram, I'm using it a lot more. I am posting memes and such. Silly, goofy things. Go check it out. It is at True Hauntings Blog. And if you're into the Twitter, the tweets and such.
Tweety tweets.
I am at True Hauntings with a Z on the end because some jerk used True Hauntings with an S, so now I can't use it.
So rude. I'm going to find them.
Right. Yeah. Send him a strongly worded email.
I send him a message. I'm sure he'll sell it for $10 or something, you know?
Yeah, right. How much is it worth to you? Not much because I'm broke. Okay. So... So go check those out. Definitely join our Facebook group because we do a lot of chatting there. A lot of people share their experiences and ask questions and we do fun little polls and all that kind of stuff. So go check it out. And yeah, that's our take on Ouija boards. Anybody have any final closing comments?
Always say goodbye.
There you go. Listen, we're closing the session.
Okay? You cannot come home with me.
Goodbye. We're closing the session, and we will spook you later. Ooh.